saw in the announcements, the sanctuary is going to be open for prayer Tuesday from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., Wednesday 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Thursday 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can come in for 5 minutes or 5 hours. You can spend time in here. I want to encourage you to participate in that. We'll have a table here with some opportunity for you to write down your prayer requests, maybe a dream that you have for 2018, maybe one for the next 5 years or 20 years, something that you want to do or accomplish. And we'll pray over that. We'll believe God with you on that. And then Thursday night, we'll end here. Hector Santos, a great gift of God. God uses him with a prophetic edge to his life, and he will be a great encouragement. I'm excited about that happening this week, the first week of the year. And I want to encourage you to participate in fasting as well. Maybe it's a meal, maybe it's a day, maybe it's 3 days, maybe it's a week, maybe it's 21 days. Maybe I know some people that go on a 40-day fast, a Daniel fast, where you can eat just fruits and vegetables that time. For some of you, you want to go hardcore and just drink liquids for 7 days or 21 days. God will be with you. He'll help you. It'll take you into a dimension that if you've never done it before, he'll move you to a place that you never thought you would go. And it's not when we fast that we get more of God's attention, but it's when we fast, we know him better. And he becomes more real, and we see God's hand move in our lives in a dimension and in a way that we never thought possible. So I want to encourage you to do that, participate into that, and watch what God will do in and through your life today. In a few minutes, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3. I want to just talk to you just a little bit about this coming year and about your life and planning. And I believe that every year that God gives us here on the earth, that he's called us to be as productive for his purposes and his plans so that we can be pleasing to him and that we can do what we are called to do. And the longer that you live, you realize how fast life moves on. I cannot believe that Christmas is over already. And now here we are. We're going into another new year again. And every year, at least half of us do something in the beginning that seems exhilarating but ends up frustrating, and it's called New Year's resolutions. According to USA.gov, the top 10 resolutions that America make every New Year's Day are the following. Here's the top 10. Number one, lose weight. And I want to just tell you all this morning, you look like you already have. And thank God for Bruce and the cookie table today. But after next week, I'm just kidding. Number two, this is one of the top 10. Number two, manage your debt and save money. Number three, get physically fit. Number four, eat healthy. Number five, I could stop on every one of these, but I'm not going to. Number five, learn something new. Six, drink less alcohol. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, reduce stress. Number nine, take a trip somewhere. How many of you are thinking about that this morning? Number 10, volunteer to help others. And as great as they all are, 4 out of 5 people who make them will also break them. 1/3 of people that make resolutions won't get past the end of January before they break them. So all of you that go to the gym now and get upset for somebody coming in and taking your treadmill, don't worry. They'll be gone by the end of January. I just saw this funny video yesterday, and it just was so hilarious. I almost was going to play it on here, but I didn't think I better. But God has something to say about how you and I can maximize our year, how we can reach our God-given potential and experience what God has created for every one of us to do. And I want to encourage you today, turn on your dream machine in your heart. begin to ask God for bigger things. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to just take a segue here just for a moment. And I want to give you the Proverb Planner. This is so good. If you never write things down, this is a good time for you to start this morning, because I'm just going to give you some proverbs. This is called the Proverb Planner. Proverbs 6, 6, and 7. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food for harvest. Even the ant, he's saying, is planning ahead. He takes in thought the summer and knows that there will be a need in the winter. And thus, the forethought of this is that the ant prepares for what's coming. What is he saying here? You may be in a time of flourishing right now, and everything that comes in, you might be spending it as fast as you can. But the ant here, in the writer of the proverb says, don't spend it all when it's coming in plenty. Save it up for when times and nothing grows. And I tell you, you walk out today, nothing is growing outside today. Only somebody's frustration, that's all. So prepare. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his step. When you plan, don't just focus on your immediate, but give careful thought to the steps that you are taking, which will lead into your future. Some people never think that a year, 5 years, or 25 years will come. They think if they do what they feel good about doing right now, that they'll always feel good about that. But nothing could be further from the truth. Listen to me right now. Husbands and wives, listen to me right now. I was sitting around, I'm going to segue off my segue. I was sitting around at Christmas. I was sitting in my son's house, and the grandkids were there. They were laughing. They were eating. They were opening up gifts. And I sat there and I looked. There were times in my life, hear me, I'm being very vulnerable now, that I did not want to continue on the course I was going. Inside, I thought, if I make this decision, I'll feel better. It was by the grace of God that I stayed the course, and because I can now look at 40 years down the road and say, thank you, God. Look at what the Lord has done. He's been good to me. Come on, you ought to clap on that right now. He has been good to me. And you may think that you can make this decision and tomorrow you'll feel just as good about it. If it isn't in here, you will not feel good about it. Let me move on. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Planning says, don't be independent and just do what you want to do all the time. Planning and the Proverbs say, get the wisdom of somebody else who has gone on before you and talk to them and get the experience from wise people so that you can learn what their successes are, and you can also, I just told you a mistake of my life, you can learn from it now, okay? That's what counsel says. Many advisors, not independent. The people that go around and say things like, nobody's going to tell me what to do. The people that say things like, I'm a big person, I'm going to do what I want when I want, those people are destined for heartache and failure. Thank you for one amen in this congregation this morning. Did the cold weather freeze your throat here? Proverbs 16:3. I have two more. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Always seek God's guidance and his strength in your planning. Trust his wisdom, not your own. And don't think just year to year or 5 years to 5 years. Think beyond that. Think beyond even a decade. When God is in it, it will last even when you're gone. I was having a conversation with my son Ryan maybe it was just last week, about people that made decisions. Now you look back and you know of them that made them 50 and 75 years ago. They didn't build or make decisions for just 10, 15, or 20 years. They created things that would last 100 and then beyond. Don't just think about you all the time in your process, in your creating, in your building. You look around at this building. Thank God we had some good people. Thank God in the building next door. Thank God in the buildings across town. There were people that put their lives into those buildings that did not do it just for 10, 15, 20 years, and then they could move on. They did it so they would last a lifetime and then some. Amen today. Here's the last one, and then I'll move on. Proverbs 24, 27. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. My father-in-law would take this literally. He would work us on the farm. Before the sun came up, we would be working. And after the sun would go down, he'd say to me, the Bible says, get the work done outside before you do anything in your house. It didn't hurt me, but that's not exactly what the writer had in mind. He says here, before you can establish your own home or your household, you need to learn some things like you got to have a job. You got to learn to pay your bills on time. You got to invest in some things that will create for a future so that you can take care of your household. I've had people come up to me, we're going to get married. You are. Do you have a job? Well, no, why you got to talk like that to me? Oh, really? Your mama and your daddy are not going to take care of you forever. Get a job. I told somebody a while ago, nobody wants to come to me when they're talking about getting married if they don't have everything lined up the way they go. Because I'm going to ask them some hard questions. Do you have a job? Do you have a car? Do you pay your bills? Do you think that I want one of our girls just connecting up with anybody that doesn't have any job? I even drilled down. I've told some, I want to see your credit report. Amen. I told you I was segueing. Okay, let me get into my message. I'm going to be done in just a couple moments. A psychology professor. Aren't you glad I think that way? Come on, help. Help a brother out in here today. Girls, I'm not thinking of nobody when I say this. No one. I have no one in mind. But if you're dating a guy that does not have a job, he does not have a car, he can't get to work if he got a job, you need to bump him to the side. I better go on. You don't want to hear that this morning. A psychology professor at Florida State did a study on this, and he came up with two reasons why people fail with New Year's resolutions. Number one, they're too general, and number two, they make too many. Two, he said, studies have proven too many resolutions makes it you won't stick to any one of them. He said it in the study, it's better to make one and stick with it than to make many and not have any results. And isn't that what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3? He refers to it. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but he said, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul says, I haven't arrived. He says, I don't have everything all together. He said, I've reached a lot of potential, but I have not reached all the potential that God has called me to. I was standing here thinking this morning. I heard Jerry Gillis this morning early on the television said he's preached in 30 nations. And I thought, man, that's awesome. And I was standing down here today. I like that. I want that. And I thought, I've preached in 10 nations. And I thought, that's awesome, and that's a great, and nobody would have ever, including myself, never think that I would be able to do that. But I did it. But that's not all that God wants me to do. I believe, and I'm believing, and I'm declaring that God is going to let me preach in 30 nations, maybe 40 nations. I don't know how many, but I want to take the word of the Lord around the world. I want God to use me in that. And I'm going to focus on that. And it doesn't matter how old you are, that as long as you're taking in breath on this earth, you and I still have some things that we can learn in our lives. There's more principles to apply. There's more room for us to grow. There's more things that we can do. And Paul says in this verse of Scripture that there's three things that if we begin every season of our life, every month of our life, every week of our life, every day of our life, that God can cause it to be the most productive and to be the most pleasing day that God could ever give to you and I. First thing he starts out, he says, you got to forget. If you're going to move into this new year, into the plan that God has for you, you got to forget what's behind you. He says, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but he says, this one thing I do, I release the things which are behind. He says, if you're going to enter into a new season, you got to push past the old one. You cannot focus on where you are going, and you won't move to where God has called you to if you don't let go of what's behind you. You can't sail the ship into the seas of your future if your anchor is stuck in the mud of your past. You can't run forward if you're always looking backward. And Paul says, forget those things which are behind. Now, don't misunderstand this. When he says forget, he doesn't mean fail to remember. There's no way that you're going to erase all the experiences from your past. But the word forget here means not to be influenced or to be affected by them. This is so important. Do you know how you can know if you have forgotten what is behind you? That you can freely talk about it and it has no influence on your future. When you can talk about it and you can say things like, yep, I failed there. Yep, I made a mistake there. Yep, that was a stupid thing. But this, from all of that, is how God used my life. Then you can know you're past your past and you're ready to move on into your future. Come on today. Number two, amen. If you're going to clap, give it up a good one for the Lord today. You got to concentrate on what is in front of you. He said this in this verse in Philippians 3:13. I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, and there's something in that sentence that's always caught my attention, and it's the two words that make all the difference in the world. He says, one thing that I do. One thing. Because he understood the power that comes from concentrating on just one thing. You ever notice that in the Scripture? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and ask him, how do I receive eternal life? Jesus said, one thing you lack. Now, the one thing was many things, Rob, but there was one constant, and he said, one thing you lack. When Martha was arguing with her sister Mary over what was important, Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needed. David says in Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. And what one thing was Paul looking for? And what one thing does he want you to focus on today? Well, Paul said, I press towards the goal, the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:14. And the word goal is a Greek word that means to look at, to focus on. It's where the word telescope comes from. It means to zero in on something in our lives that God says, I want to bring attention to that. And if you get this one thing under control, maybe for you, it's your temper. Maybe for you, it's your finances. Maybe for you, it's an addiction that you can't accomplish anything else of because it has a chokehold on your life. And Paul says, if you're going to live a productive, God-pleasing life, you're going to have to get your focus off of a whole lot of things and get them on one thing. Maybe it's loving your wife. Maybe it's loving your husband. Maybe it's laying your life down for your family. Maybe it's simply you just turning your life around and giving it over to Jesus Christ. Sometimes you have to take inventory of your life and look at the things that seem to be important to you and refocus on what really is important to you. Several years ago, I just came to a path in my life, and I was on a myriad of different boards all over. I am today, but not as many as that. And I came into the office one day, and I got on my computer, and I began to write emails to a half a dozen. I'm off. I'm done. I'm not. Because I found myself split up in so many different things that I was not good at one thing. My first priority is to love the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my strength. My second greatest priority is to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. After that, it's my children and my grandchildren. Then after that, it's what God has called me to, not turned around. And sometimes for a pastor, and even in my life, other things became more important than the reality of that scale of importance. And if your goals and your dreams leave God out and his purposes are at the bottom of your list, you need a new list. Because the Bible says, seek first in Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. Is that a part of your life? Maybe that can be the mission statement for your life in 2018. One thing that you do, that you put God first before anything else. If you want to do something, God, what do you think of this? If you want to go somewhere, God, is this where you want me to go? If you're going to buy something, God, is this what you want me to buy? And when you put him first, then he helps you with all the other decisions in your life. Paul says, when you set the right goals in your life and you build your life around Christ and him being first, then you will begin to reach those things that you are seeking him for. And then last, number three, you got to commit to what is ahead of you. Commit to it. And I know that word, that's offensive to some people. In our culture, nobody wants to hear that. Can you commit to this? Well, no, not, you know, I'll help a little bit, but I can't commit to it. God's made me free. I can't commit to anything. And God's saying to you and I today that if you're going to have his hand upon your life, if you're going to see the best things in your life, you're going to have to learn what the word commitment stands for in your life. Two times he says in verse 12 and verse 14 in Philippians 12, he said, I press on. I commit to this thing. And if I'm going to fulfill and you are going to fulfill the purposes that he has for us in 2018, we have to commit to what is ahead of us. For some, it's a change in your life. For some of you, it's a positive decision that may go against your nature. Some of you, that has to do in the area of your nutrition and your health. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were telling me that their father died, and he smoked incessantly. He had heart issues, and right while he was coughing and his heart was hurting and just going downhill, he smoked one right after another. Just smoked his way right into death. That, for some, and I'm just using that because it was fresh on my mind. I'm not condemning anyone that does it. That's not going to keep you out of heaven. It might get you there faster, but it won't keep you out of heaven. But if it's destructive to your health, and it goes against your nature. So, well, I've always done it. Okay. Quit. Change. Make a positive decision that may go against your nature. Some of you have to make some moves that will lead you out of what is trying to destroy you and the purposes and the plans that God has for your life. You got to make that choice. You got to make the move. Well, I'm just not ready yet. When will you be ready? When you lose everything? Or when you die? I was thinking of Chris Busniak, who's preaching at another church today. He had to make a hard decision when he was sitting in jail. He was either going to keep living the way he was always going to live or make a hard decision. Some of you think, well, that wouldn't be hard for me. But if you were brought up in that lifestyle and that's all you knew, it would be hard for you. I realize that for some of you, you may be living under an addiction today, and you may be hearing what I'm saying. You could say something like, well, that's easy for you to say. And yes, it is easier for me to say, but I want to help you, because if you stay there, you're going to die. Some of you have to do the one thing that you have never done to get what you have never got. What is that for you? Some of you got to do something you never thought you could do. 5 years ago, my oldest son said, Dad, come to the gym with me. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I said, I can't do that. He said, Dad, just come for a day. He lied. And then he said, come on Monday. Come Wednesday and Thursday. And you know what? For 5 years, I've been in that regiment. And I talk to people, and they say, well, they look at me, and they're in their early 50s. They say, well, if you were as old as I am, you couldn't do it either. And I look at them, and I smile, and I say, thank you for that compliment. But I'm 62. And then I have people that come around, and they're limping because they had a hip replacement. They say, it's easy for you to say that, but you haven't had one. I said, well, actually, when I was 54, I did have my hip replaced. And when I was 48, I had my back operated on, and I had my knee operated on, and I've had my shoulder operated on. Come on, you're looking at the bionic man right here, right now. But instead of you always saying, I can't, how about you start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Maybe for some of you, it's doing one thing that the devil does not want you to do. Maybe it's a missions trip. Maybe it's serving. When you see that year-end video and you see everything that was going on, maybe it's just going out on Adopt-a-Block. Well, I can't do that. Why? Why can't you do that? Maybe it's hooking up with Ryan and the team on Tuesday night at St. Anthony's when they're serving the community. Instead of getting into the little small chorus of saying how bad all the people and the kids are in the community, how about you giving your life to make a change instead of being critical in all of that? How about you, maybe it's you. He's got like, I think he's got 8 people now that have 8 businesses around the community that have said, I want to buy pizza for 1 month, and I'm going to give X, I don't even know how much it is. I'm going to give X number of dollars to buy pizza for those kids on a Tuesday night. They bring in 3 sheet pizzas, and it's like fire comes down from heaven. Those kids, some of them don't eat all day to come there and eat the pizza. Amen. How about doing one thing? You see, the devil does not want you to do that, because the enemy, he wants to lay his claws into kids that maybe don't have any parents in their lives, don't have a mother, don't have a father, and all they know is the street. And God brings along a church with people that love humanity and are moved by the Spirit and the power of God, and they do something in a child's life that changes them in a moment, like giving 16 bicycles away a couple weeks ago to kids that have never had bicycles. Come on today, you were a part of that. Maybe God wants you just to give. And the enemy says, don't do that. If you give, you won't have enough to get your burrito or get your sushi. Amen. Or get your Big Mac. But if I give this, I'll give all I have. And God's saying to you, When you step into the beautiful position of giving so that I can give it through you, you will see a joy come into your life like you never thought before. And when you do it, you will step into the most exhilarating and exciting experience that you have ever had in your life. Some of you are saying, well, I'm just too old. Others of you are saying, well, I'm just too young. Others of you are saying, well, you know, I just got married, or I just this or just that. There's a whole lot of just this. But the Lord is saying, but how about me? I want to empower you. I want to lay my hand on you. I want to do something in you in 2018 that if you knew what he could do in and through you, it would cause you to shudder in your shoes right now. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who cometh to God, he must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. James chapter 2, and verse 18, 19, and 20. Some will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. A lot of people say, oh, I got all kinds of faith. Show me. Well, it's inside of me. It doesn't do nothing inside of you until you begin to give it away. And when you give it away, you step into the plan of God. He goes on to say, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Demons even believe that and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works, action, is just dead? God wants you and I to move into 2018 doing one thing that is more important than anything else, and that's getting our lives right with him. Some of you are here today. You may be off on that. There's no condemnation. God's not mad at any single one of you. But he's got a great plan for every one of your lives today. Just close your eyes, bow your head with me just a moment. Some of the greatest experiences that I've ever had in my life are when I did things that I never thought I could do. I remember the first time I stood right here in this building and I preached the first message after we bought this property. I was so scared. I had people, the chorus, not only people that didn't know God, people that even knew God say, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. I found out over my life when I do things and I step out in faith and believe God and I have people say things like, you're out of your mind. That's usually when God is going to do his greatest miracles in my life. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I just sense just a great pull from somebody's heart this morning that you want to do something great and powerful. This is your day today. I believe God with you today. I believe him to do something powerful and great in your life today. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that right now. Give him your life. Just say, Lord, take my life over. Ask him to forgive you. And then say, Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. He'll come in. He'll begin to work inside of you and change you. Lord, I thank you right now. I give you glory. I give you praise. Thank you, Lord God. I feel, honey, I want you to come up here with me. I feel like I'm supposed to pray over you myself this morning. I'm going to close. I'm not going to pray long, but we're going to lay our hands on you. Like a couple of the other prayer people, just come up and stand next to me. I just feel like Patty and I will lay my hand on every person that comes down here. Not that I have anything, but right now I feel a connection. I feel an anointing, and I feel God calling me to do this morning. And if you're here today and you want 2018 to take you into directions and dimensions that you've been fearful of, and you know God is calling you to do it, I'm going to close in prayer. And if that's you, I just want you to come down here. just going to lay our hand on you. Just quickly pray blessing over you, and we're going to move forward. Father, I give you great thanks for what you have done, what you're going to do. I pray your hand and your life to flow through every single person today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I love you. If you want prayer, you want us to just to lay our hand on you, I want you to come down today.